Every year, it feels like we're just bombarded with headlines about massive product recalls, whether it's cars, medicines, or gosh, even the food we eat. It's almost become background noise, hasn't it? Something we just sort of shrug off.
It really has.
But have you ever truly stopped to consider the real cost of those recalls? I mean, not just the financial hit for companies, but the profound human toll.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the staggering number of injuries and, yes, even deaths directly linked to defective products.
It's true. And what's truly fascinating here is that beyond those headlines, beyond the balance sheets and the corporate statements, there's this profound, often unseen human impact that we can't afford to ignore it.
Right.
And this deep dive, it's really all about pulling back the curtain on that impact. And crucially, it's about exploring a truly groundbreaking initiative. Something that aims to change this entire landscape, fundamentally shifting how we think about product safety by leveraging the incredible power of artificial intelligence.
That's a really powerful way to frame our discussion today. Because the real insight here isn't just the alarming scale of the problem, which is bad enough.
Hmm.
It's how this visionary proposal is finally offering a preemptive strike, you could say, against defective products. It's about fundamentally shifting us from constant crisis management to, well, predictive safety.
Exactly. Proactive, not just reactive.
Precisely. So our mission today is to extract the most important nuggets of knowledge from this proposal for a global quality task force. We're hoping to offer you a shortcut, really, to being well-informed on a topic that affects every single one of us every single day.
Okay, so with that stark picture in mind, what exactly are we up against here? The research we've been digging into paints a very clear and frankly somewhat alarming picture. Product quality isn't just facing challenges, it seems to be in a full-blown systemic crisis.
Yeah, the documents we've analyzed, they really emphasize this growing challenge. It highlights that recalls and safety risks are becoming increasingly common across virtually every industry you can think of. It feels like an escalation across the board.
It is. From automotive, pharmaceuticals, electronics, even the food industry. This isn't just about a bad batch here or an isolated incident there. It's something deeply embedded in our modern manufacturing landscape. Sort of baked into the system, unfortunately.
And what are the primary forces driving this escalating quality challenge? I mean, sources must pinpoint some key factors. It can't just be one thing, right?
No, absolutely not. There are several compounding factors at play here. First, and perhaps most significant, is just the sheer complexity of global supply chains.
Okay.
We're talking about multi-tiered supplier networks that literally span dozens of countries. This creates massive visibility challenges. It makes it incredibly difficult for any single company to know exactly where every single component comes from,
mm-hmm.
or what conditions it was produced under, or even what subcomponents it might contain.
Right, like tracing the origins of everything in, say, a smartphone must be.
Oh, it's monumental. Think of a modern car or a high-tech medical device. Tracing every nut, bolt, microchip, chemical compound back to its origin is, well, often impossible.
Yeah.
And then you layer on top of that communication barriers that frequently break down across these vast multicultural networks. It's almost a recipe for unforeseen issues popping up.
That makes perfect sense. It's like a giant global game of telephone where the message just gets garbled across continents. What else is contributing to this mess?
Well, second, we're seeing intense accelerated production timelines and compressed development cycles. Companies are under immense pressure to get products to market faster than ever before.
Time to market is everything.
It is. And unfortunately, that often leads to inadequate testing and verification processes.
Mm-hmm.
Corners get cut, maybe not always intentionally, but because the pace just demands it.
Right.
Third, the products themselves are becoming increasingly complex. They're packed with more features, more interconnected components, more intricate software, more sensors, more things to potentially go wrong. Exactly.
Yeah.
All of which naturally introduce more points of failure, more opportunities for something to go sideways. It's almost like that old adage. The more moving parts, the more chances for a breakdown.
Makes sense.
And finally, regulatory scrutiny is constantly evolving and increasing. There's growing global pressure around prohibited substances, environmental impacts, and of course, consumer safety. What was perfectly acceptable yesterday might be illegal tomorrow.
So the goalposts are always moving.
Constantly. And that means the bar for compliance is continually rising. And companies, frankly, struggle to keep up with this patchwork of regulations across different jurisdictions.
So, okay, if we connect this to the bigger picture, traditional quality control methods, which you know, have served us for decades and were revolutionary in their time.
Absolutely.
They're just not keeping pace with these compounding challenges. They were designed for a different era, really, a different level of complexity and globalization.
That's spot on.
So this raises a pretty important question. What are the real-world consequences of this escalating challenge? We see glimpses in the headlines, but they affect entire industries, don't they?
Oh, profoundly. And those consequences are stark.
Yeah, when I read about the impact across industries, particularly in automotive, the scale of those recalls is just staggering. Can you give us some concrete examples?
Absolutely. Take the automotive industry, for instance. Mm-hmm. We've witnessed massive recalls affecting millions, literally millions, of vehicles.
Right.
Think of critical issues like faulty braking systems or airbag malfunctions like that huge Takata airbag recall everyone remembers.
Oh yeah, that was massive.
Or even complex software glitches that can compromise vehicle control. Mm. These incidents don't just cost billions in losses for manufacturers, repairs, logistics, legal fees, you name it. They directly endanger lives on our roads every single day. Mm. And the ripple effect on public trust, it's immeasurable.
It really puts a face on the numbers, doesn't it? And it's not just cars, right?
Right.
The pharmaceutical sector has seen its share of really devastating issues too.
Indeed. In the pharmaceutical sector, medication recalls due to contamination or mislabeling or incorrect dosing. These can have immediate and devastating consequences.
Terrifying.
Patients rely on these medications for their health, often for critical conditions, and a single mistake can lead to severe harm, irreversible side effects, or even death. And beyond the terrible human suffering, these recalls lead to immense regulatory penalties, criminal investigations, and a profound loss of public trust for the companies involved. The stakes just couldn't be higher.
And then there's the food industry. We hear about widespread foodborne illness outbreaks stemming from contamination fairly often, it seems.
Too often. These incidents can be terrifying, resulting in widespread hospitalizations and, tragically, even deaths. Beyond the immediate human cost, they can absolutely devastate brand reputations overnight. Sometimes it takes years, if ever, for a company to recover. The impact ripples far beyond the financial hit. It touches every single consumer.
But here's the part that really, really resonated with me from the research. And honestly, it's the heartbreaking truth behind all those recall headlines and financial figures. Beyond the losses that grab the headlines, there's a profound human toll that is often just overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
Our sources underscore that products containing hazardous or carcinogenic substances can cause immediate injuries or, even more insidiously, contribute to long-term health conditions. We're talking about things like cancer, chronic respiratory disorders, even developmental issues in children that might not show up for years,
well,
silently impacting individuals and families.
The statistics are truly sobering, almost difficult to comprehend, really. According to World Health Organization estimates, defective products cause approximately 29.4 million injuries and a staggering 76,000 deaths globally each year.
Every year, wow.
Think about that for a moment. These aren't just abstract numbers on a spreadsheet. These are real people whose lives have been permanently altered, whose families have been shattered by preventable quality issues. It's like a silent epidemic of preventable harm happening all around us.
Those numbers really do underline the urgency, don't they? It brings home the human imperative. We're talking about a child exposed to lead in a toy that was supposed to bring them joy, but instead might impact their development for their entire life.
Exactly.
Or an individual who suffers severe debilitating injuries from a seemingly minor malfunctioning automotive component that absolutely should have been safe. The human impact of these failures underscores this profound moral imperative to address these quality issues systematically and, most importantly, proactively. This isn't just good business. It's a fundamental responsibility to the people who trust these products.
Absolutely. So if we dive a little deeper into the common underlying causes of these quality issues, not just the immediate symptoms, but the root causes, we can generally categorize them into four key areas. First, as you mentioned, supply chain complexity. The sheer number of tiers and geographies in modern supply chains makes comprehensive oversight nearly impossible. It fosters these visibility challenges and communication breakdowns that can hide potential problems until it's too late.
Right, like trying to manage this invisible global spider web where each strand stretches across the globe and you can't see the weak points.
That's a great analogy, exactly. Mm-hmm. Second, time pressure. The relentless drive for faster innovation and quicker market entry often leads to compressed development cycles and aggressive production timelines.
Which we talked about.
Right. Yep. This inherently incentivizes, even subtly forces, inadequate testing and verification processes.
Mm-hmm.
Corners might get cut. Not necessarily out of malice, but out of sheer necessity to meet demanding deadlines.
Right.
Third, regulatory gaps. The global landscape of product safety regulations is, well, it's a patchwork. Inconsistent global standards and enforcement create loopholes. This allows hazardous materials or maybe subpar components to enter products in one region, and then, because of those interconnected supply chains, they can proliferate globally, often undetected by the final market's regulations.
So something that's banned here might still end up in a product sold here because it came from a supplier maybe two or three steps back in another country with totally different rules.
Precisely. It happens all the time. And finally, detection limitations. Traditional quality control methods, while fundamental and important, are often just not sophisticated enough anymore to catch really subtle defects or identify emerging risks that are only detectable through highly advanced analytical techniques. They're often too reactive, designed to catch known problems rather than foresee novel ones.
And our sources also detail some of the specific hazardous substances that creep into our products, the ones we might interact with daily without even realizing the danger. Mm. It's not just abstract chemical names. These are very real threats. For example, lead. It's a well-known culprit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Despite decades of awareness, it still shows up in things like paint, some children's toys, cheap jewelry, even some electronics. Its health risks are severe developmental delays, neurological damage, especially in children. That's why it's restricted globally, although the limits can vary.
Then you have phthalates. These are commonly used to make plastics more flexible and durable, so you find them in everything from vinyl flooring to personal care products, even some food packaging.
Everywhere, basically.
Pretty much. And these have been linked to endocrine disruption and reproductive harm, leading to partial restrictions in places like the EU and the US, but they're still widespread.
Sure.
Formaldehyde, often found in furniture made with prepped wood, textiles, and building materials, is a known respiratory irritant and, unfortunately, a known human carcinogen.
Oh.
There are emissions limits being imposed in many countries now because it's just so pervasive indoors.
And then there are the ones that seem to be constantly in the news these days, those forever chemicals.
Ah, yes. PFAS, pernacropulp, and polyfluoroalkyl substances. They're used in a vast array of products, from waterproof clothing and gear to non-stick cookware, even firefighting foam.
Why forever chemicals?
They're called that because they resist breaking down in the environment, and they can persist in our bodies for a very, very long time, accumulating over decades. They've been linked to some serious health issues, immune system damage, kidney cancer risk, developmental problems.
Scary stuff.
It is. And the restrictions globally are still emerging and often inconsistent. This just highlights the sheer scale of the challenge that quality professionals face every day. These four substances we just mentioned, they represent just a tiny fraction of the thousands of chemicals used in manufacturing processes globally. And new compounds are constantly being developed and introduced. Quality professionals are in this constant battle, not just to understand the products they make, but to stay informed about these emerging chemical risks and the potential harm they could cause.
And it's precisely because of this overwhelming complexity, the supply chains, the product intricacies, the chemicals, the regulations, that current quality control methods are simply not enough. The sources lay out some really critical limitations that highlight why the status quo just isn't sustainable anymore. First, current methods are overwhelmingly reactive rather than predictive.
That's a key point.
They rely heavily on post-production inspections and testing, basically catching defects after they've already occurred rather than preventing them from happening in the first place. Now, statistical process control has certainly improved things somewhat over the years.
It has, definitely.
But truly predictive quality management, where we can genuinely anticipate issues and prevent them from ever materializing, that remains elusive for many, many organizations. It's like waiting for the car crash to happen before you start wondering if the brakes were faulty.
That's a good way to put it. Second, we suffer from pervasive knowledge silos. When a quality issue is discovered, the hard-won lessons learned, the insights gained, too often they remain confined within individual companies, or worse, just within specific departments inside those companies.
So nobody else learns from it.
Exactly. There's simply no systematic way for quality professionals globally to benefit from the experiences of others across different industries or even different regions of the world. This means invaluable insights are repeatedly rediscovered, often the hard way, rather than being universally applied. It leads to so much wasted effort and, sadly, continued preventable errors.
It's a huge missed opportunity for collective learning, isn't it?
It truly is. Third, there are significant resource constraints. Look, comprehensive testing for every possible contaminant or defect in every single product is just prohibitively expensive and incredibly time-consuming.
You just can't do it.
You can't. Quality teams are forced to make strategic decisions about what to test for based on limited budgets and time, which inevitably leaves blind spots. You simply can't test for everything, all the time, everywhere. And finally, there's data fragmentation. Quality data often exists in these disparate systems, scattered across different organizations, different functions within the same company, often in incompatible formats. This makes it incredibly difficult to identify overarching patterns or perform the kind of comprehensive analysis that could truly reveal systemic issues or emerging trends before they escalate into major problems.
So, okay, what does this all mean for us, the consumers? And for the industries that are genuinely trying to keep us safe, it means there's a clear gap, a fundamental need for something radically different. We seem to be at a point where just making incremental improvements isn't going to cut it anymore. We need a fundamental paradigm shift, a different way of approaching the very idea of quality. Okay, this is where our deep dive pivots. We've painted a pretty grim picture of the problem, but now let's talk solutions. Because when you see a problem of this magnitude, the natural next step is to ask, what's the big, bold idea that can actually make a difference? And the document proposes something truly transformative, a global quality task force. And this isn't just another industry group or committee. It's presented as a vision for collective intelligence on an unprecedented scale.
Precisely. The core proposal is for a collaborative initiative, one that strategically brings together a diverse and powerful coalition. Experienced quality professionals, key regulatory experts, sharp data scientists, and cutting-edge AI specialists from across different industries and regions worldwide.
Okay.
Now, what's truly critical here, and a key distinction from, say, existing industry associations, is that this task force would deliberately cross industry boundaries.
Oh, that's interesting.
It recognizes that many underlying quality principles, and surprisingly, even common failure modes, are actually universal. They transcend specific sectors. And this cross-pollination of ideas and experiences is precisely what would foster innovation and quality management approaches on a global scale. It's about learning from everyone, everywhere, not just your direct competitors.
And the objectives of this task force sound ambitious, yet incredibly focused. It seems designed to attack the problem at its roots.
They are. First, root cause analysis. The task force would conduct comprehensive inter-industry analyses of significant quality failures to identify common patterns, shared failure modes, and underlying contributing factors. This means learning from every major incident, everywhere it happens, and extracting those universal lessons.
Okay, so digging deep into why things failed.
Exactly. Second, AI-driven prediction. A paramount objective is to develop sophisticated machine learning models capable of identifying early warning signs of potential quality issues before they manifest as defects in products or systems. This is that preventative strike we talked about earlier.
The Holy Grail, really.
In many ways, yes. Third, and perhaps most impactful for the broader quality community, is knowledge sharing. The task force aims to create a freely accessible global database of defects, their causes, and proven solutions, making this invaluable information available to quality professionals worldwide, regardless of their company's size or resources. Democratizing quality knowledge, essentially.
That's huge.
And fourth, continuous improvement. They would establish robust mechanisms for ongoing model refinement, knowledge expansion, and adaptation to emerging quality challenges, ensuring the system remains relevant and effective in a constantly changing manufacturing landscape.
So it learns and evolves.
Constantly. And this raises an important question. How exactly will AI achieve these objectives? Because let's be honest, AI can sometimes sound like a buzzword.
Right. Sprinkled on everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But here it's presented as the analytical core that powers this entire vision and makes it actually feasible.
Right. So AI isn't just a component here. It's positioned as both the analytical engine and the delivery mechanism for actionable insights. It's what makes this whole endeavor truly revolutionary, according to the proposal. The task force would leverage multiple AI capabilities to achieve its goals. Think about it. Machine learning algorithms would identify incredibly subtle patterns and vast amounts of quality data patterns that humans, even the most experienced analysts, might easily miss because the data sets are simply too large and complex for manual analysis.
And it goes beyond just structured data, like numbers in a spreadsheet. Natural language processing, or NLP, would extract critical insights from unstructured sources. Imagine sifting through millions of customer complaints, field service reports, online reviews, maybe even internal emails or documents. NLP can identify sentiment, key themes, and emerging problems from all this qualitative data, giving us a much more holistic view of problems as they start to emerge in the real world.
Wow.
And beyond text, computer vision systems would be deployed. These are AI systems that can essentially see and analyze visual data. They could detect subtle defects on a production line, tiny cracks, misalignments, color variations, with far greater accuracy, speed, and consistency than human inspectors can achieve, especially over long shifts in high-volume environments where fatigue inevitably becomes a factor.
So it's not just about crunching numbers, but also understanding language and literally seeing imperfections that might escape the human eye.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Crucially, predictive analytics would forecast potential quality issues based on those early indicators gleaned from all this diverse data, moving us firmly from reactive fixes to proactive prevention. This is about identifying that weak signal that, based on vast amounts of historical data, often precedes a major failure down the line.
Finding the needle in the haystack before it causes damage.
Precisely. And finally, knowledge graphs would be used. These are sophisticated ways to map complex relationships between defects, their causes, the materials involved, specific processes, and successful solutions, even across different industries. Think of it as a highly sophisticated, interconnected web of all known quality knowledge.
Okay.
And these AI systems wouldn't just be static tools. The idea they would continuously learn and improve as they process more data, creating this virtuous cycle of increasingly accurate predictions and recommendations, making the entire system smarter and more effective every single day.
Now, a key point here, and something people often worry about with AI, is jobs. But the proposal stresses this isn't about AI replacing people.
Not at all.
Which is a common and understandable fear in many industries. This is fundamentally about AI empowering quality professionals, serving as a powerful assistant, augmenting human expertise with unparalleled data-driven insights.
That's the core idea. Augmentation, not replacement.
Imagine this scenario. A quality professional is confronted with a perplexing issue on the factory floor. Maybe a new material batch is behaving strangely, or an unexpected fault appears in a complex subsystem. Instead of spending days or weeks in isolation trying to troubleshoot, maybe even reinventing solutions that actually already exist elsewhere.
Which happens all the time.
Right. They could simply query the AI system.
They could ask about potential causes and solutions based on similar cases that have occurred, perhaps not even in their own company, but across industries globally. And the beauty of this is the speed and the breadth of the response. The AI could provide immediate, contextually relevant suggestions drawn from this vast repository of global knowledge.
So it taps into this collective brain.
Exactly. This isn't just internal company data. It includes anonymized industry case studies, findings from academic research, documented experiences from countless other quality professionals around the world. This capability would dramatically reduce troubleshooting time. It allows experts to focus their invaluable time and experience on adapting these insights to their specific context and improving the overall effectiveness of the resolution.
That makes a lot of sense.
What's fascinating here is the fundamental shift it enables in the quality professional's role. From being primarily a reactive problem solver, often working in silos, fighting fires, to becoming a proactive strategist, empowered and supported by immense data insights from a global collective. It frees them up for the truly complex, human-centric tasks, the critical thinking, the collaboration, the strategic planning that AI can't do.
This all sounds incredible in theory, but how do you actually build such a system? The proposal suggests it all starts with the foundation, building the global defect database. This is the central repository of knowledge that fuels everything else.
That's right. And the first step is data collection. This involves aggregating quality data from all participating organizations, tapping into public recall databases, academic literature, regulatory reports, and so on. And critically, as the proposal emphasizes, this needs to be done while ensuring appropriate anonymization and confidentiality protocols are rigorously applied. That's key to protect sensitive proprietary information, a major concern for any company considering participation.
Absolutely crucial for buy-in.
Totally. Once the data is collected, the next vital step is standardization. You need to develop common taxonomies, common classification systems for defects, causes, solutions, essentially a shared language that works across all these diverse industries. Without this common language, effective cross-sector learning just wouldn't be possible. You'd constantly be comparing apples to oranges, or worse.
Got it. Need that common framework.
Mm-hmm. Then comes the analysis. Applying those powerful machine learning techniques we talked about to identify patterns, correlations, and potentially causal relationships within the aggregated data, surfacing those hidden insights that would remain completely invisible in fragmented, siloed data sets.
Finding the signals in the noise.
Exactly. And finally, it's about knowledge creation, transforming all that raw data and complex analysis into structured, actionable knowledge entries, entries that clearly link specific defects to potential causes and proven solutions, making them easily digestible and genuinely useful for quality professionals on the ground.
And for this database to be truly comprehensive, truly powerful, it needs to draw from a really diverse array of sources, right? Not just company data.
Absolutely. The sources highlight that voluntary industry contributions would form the backbone of the system. This is where companies actively, willingly share their anonymized quality data, their case studies, their lessons learned, recognizing the mutual benefit of contributing to this collective pool.
So a give and get model.
Precisely. But it's also richly supplemented by publicly available information. Things like public recall databases from government agencies, deep academic research published in journals, official regulatory reports on incidents, even granular consumer complaints, which, as you mentioned, often offer the earliest signals of real-world issues.
Yeah, people experiencing problems firsthand.
Right. And even detailed field service data that captures how products actually perform after they're sold and used out in the real world, not just in lab tests.
That multi-source approach sounds critical.
It is. It minimizes blind spots and provides a truly comprehensive picture of quality challenges from multiple angles, multiple perspectives. Imagine having insights not just from your own company's limited history of recalls or issues, but from thousands of similar incidents across the globe. It enriches your understanding of potential failure modes that might never have occurred to you otherwise.
And it's precisely this comprehensive data, as you just mentioned, that really unlocks the system's most powerful feature, its early detection capabilities. This is where that predictive power truly shines. The system could spot incredibly subtle patterns and correlations that often precede quality issues, sometimes long before they become apparent through traditional QC methods.
Yeah, we're talking about capabilities like identifying tiny statistical anomalies and process data minute deviations that, historically, are shown to correlate with subsequent defects down the line. Or monitoring supplier quality metrics across multiple customers to flag potential upstream issues before those faulty components even reach your production line.
Catching problems at the source.
Exactly. Additionally, the system could analyze vast amounts of customer feedback reviews, support calls, social media chatter looking for early indicators of field performance issues, spouting trends and clusters of complaints that might otherwise take months or even years to become clear through traditional warranty claims analysis.
Mm.
And it can continuously scan regulatory announcements and scientific literature globally for emerging concerns about specific materials, components, or manufacturing processes that might pose future risks. By flagging these early warning signs, the system fundamentally shifts us from reactively responding to defects after they occur to proactively investigating and addressing potential issues before they cause harm or major costs. This is a real game changer for both safety and efficiency, moving us firmly into that preventive mindset.
And one of the most innovative aspects, I think, is this idea of cross-industry knowledge transfer. Imagine taking lessons learned in one highly specialized, maybe even niche industry, and applying them somewhere completely different. It's like discovering that a solution developed for, say, aerospace safety could prevent a problem in food packaging. That sounds incredibly powerful.
The potential examples are compelling. For instance, the sources mention how advanced failure mode analysis methods, FMEA as it's known, which is basically a systematic way to predict every possible way a product could fail and what the consequences would be. Methods perfected for safety-critical systems in the automotive industry could be adapted for other complex products, like medical devices or heavy industrial machinery, where failure consequences are also high.
Right, applying that rigor elsewhere.
Or how statistical process control techniques, refined for high volume, often microscopic manufacturing in the electronics sector, could benefit areas like pharmaceuticals manufacturing or even advanced ceramics production, anywhere where extreme precision is paramount.
And thinking about the pharmaceutical sector, with their incredibly rigorous contamination prevention strategies and those really robust traceability systems knowing exactly where every ingredient came from.
Yes, track and trace.
Those could offer invaluable insights to the food industry, especially in preventing widespread contamination outbreaks.
Absolutely. And similarly, food production's expertise in things like allergen management, preventing cross-contamination, and their rapid response protocols for immediate health hazards could inform safety protocols in entirely different sectors, where cross-contamination might be a risk, maybe in certain material processing plants or chemical handling facilities. The power of this cross-pollination is just immense. Principles and practices perfected in one sector, often through years of hard-won experience and significant investment following painful lessons.
Right, learning from mistakes.
They can rapidly accelerate quality improvement across the entire economy, benefiting everyone, not just one niche industry playing catch-up.
Of course, to make all this predictive magic happen, you need incredibly robust predictive models. And building these isn't trivial, I imagine.
No, it's a significant technical challenge. It begins with data preparation, which, frankly, is often the most time-consuming and challenging step in any AI project. Cleaning, normalizing, structuring the truly diverse quality data collected from all those various sources. This means handling missing values, standardizing units and terminology, which can vary wildly between industries and even companies, and creating the appropriate feature sets, the right inputs, for the machine learning algorithms to actually learn from effectively.
Garbage in, garbage out, right?
Precisely. Then comes model selection. Different quality issues require different predictive approaches. The system would likely employ a variety of AI models. Some, like regression analyses, are good for predicting continuous values, like predicting material degradation over time. Others, like classification algorithms, are better for sorting issues into categories, like identifying if a defect belongs to a known type or is something new. And then there are more sophisticated tools, like neural networks, which can spot incredibly subtle, complex patterns, especially in things like visual defect data from cameras or complex sensor readings from machinery, often in ways humans simply can't perceive. These models would then undergo rigorous training and validation. They'd be trained on historical data where the outcomes are known, then validated against separate unseen data sets to check their accuracy. Techniques like cross-validation would be used to prevent overfitting, making sure the model works on new data, not just the specific data it was trained on.
Making sure it's not just memorizing the past.
Exactly. And finally, a crucial element is continuous improvement. As new data flows in and the models are applied in real-world settings, their performance would be continuously monitored and refined. Feedback loops from users and results would ensure that prediction accuracy improves over time, and the models adapt to changing manufacturing conditions, new materials, and emerging risks. It's a living system.
Now, you might be thinking, okay, all this data collection, analysis, continuous learning, it sounds like we're talking about a living, breathing, constantly evolving brain for quality management.
That's a great way to think about it. In fact, the proposal describes the knowledge-sharing aspect with a model you'll find very familiar, the Wikipedia model for quality knowledge. But, and this is important, with a crucial, fundamental difference.
Okay, intrigued. How so?
Well, like Wikipedia, it would offer open access, meaning free availability of the core knowledge to quality professionals worldwide, regardless of their organization size or financial resources. This truly democratizes access to invaluable quality knowledge, making it a universal public good, not just something big companies can afford.
That levels the playing field.
It does. It would also feature collaborative contribution, allowing qualified professionals, people actually working in the field, to add new entries based on their experiences, suggest edits, and improve existing content, creating this living, breathing repository of quality insights that grows richer and more comprehensive with every contribution from the global community.
Okay, that sounds fantastic. But what about accuracy? We all know Wikipedia's open-door editing can sometimes lead to, shall we say, uneven quality or even misinformation. That seems risky here.
And that's precisely that crucial difference I mentioned. Unlike Wikipedia, where pretty much anyone can edit anything, entries in this global quality database would require expert verification by highly qualified, vetted subject matter experts before they are published or significantly changed.
Ah, okay. A layer of quality control on the quality control system?
Exactly. This is paramount for ensuring the accuracy and reliability of critical quality information, especially when people's safety and significant financial implications are at stake. You need that rigor. This blend of open access and rigorous expert verification is absolutely key. It builds trust and ensures the critical quality information shared is always reliable, trustworthy, and genuinely actionable.
Okay, let's bring this down to earth. Let's make it concrete with a practical application. The user experience. Imagine you're a quality engineer on the factory floor. You notice an unusual pattern in your production data. Maybe it's fluctuating viscosity readings in a polymer extrusion process, and you observe it seems to correlate with increasing ambient humidity in the plant. You're stumped. Your team has tried everything they can think of, but the problem persists, causing defects or slowdowns.
Okay, a common enough scenario. So rather than spending days or maybe even weeks investigating from scratch, pulling hair out, or reaching out to a limited network of internal contacts or maybe one or two suppliers.
Right, the usual scramble.
You simply type your observations into the AI system's intuitive interface. Something like fluctuating viscosity readings in polymer extrusion process correlated with increasing ambient humidity. And here's the magic, according to the proposal. Within seconds, the system provides potential causes based on similar cases it has analyzed across that vast array of industries in the database.
So it connects the dots globally.
Instantly. It might identify that a similar issue, maybe with similar parameters, arose in, say, a pharmaceutical tablet coating process where humidity sensitivity was key, or perhaps even in an adhesive manufacturing plant dealing with polymers. And those cases correlated with specific, maybe less obvious environmental factors or perhaps variations in a particular supplier's raw material that wasn't immediately apparent.
So it's not just giving me answers from my own company's limited history, but from this entire global database of experience.
Exactly. It might suggest specific, non-obvious tests to run to confirm the diagnosis based on what worked in those other cases. Or even recommend proven solutions with documented success rates from previous implementations in seemingly unrelated fields. The engineer can then take these globally informed insights and adapt them intelligently to their specific context, their specific machine, their specific material. This dramatically reduces troubleshooting time and allows them to focus their valuable expertise on the nuances of their particular situation, rather than just reinventing the wheel or wasting precious resources chasing dead ends. It's a fundamental shift in how problems get solved faster, smarter, and drawing on collective wisdom.
Okay, this sounds incredibly promising. But for a global initiative like this, especially one involving data sharing between potential competitors, confidentiality and data privacy are absolutely paramount. You can just imagine the concerns organizations might have about sharing potentially proprietary data.
Oh, absolutely. Probably the biggest initial hurdle to overcome.
But the proposal seems to anticipate this and clearly outlines robust safeguards designed to address these privacy and competitive concerns head on. They plan to implement sophisticated anonymization protocols, things designed to strip out identifying details from contributed data while preserving all the valuable underlying quality insights, the patterns, the failure modes, the solutions.
Right. And there would likely be tiered contribution options, allowing organizations to control the specificity of the information they share, giving them different levels of comfort and control depending on the sensitivity.
So you don't have to share everything down to the secret sauce recipe?
Exactly. The focus will always be on generalizable principles, common failure modes, and patterns that benefit everyone, not on proprietary process details or highly sensitive intellectual property.
Yeah.
Crucially, clear data governance frameworks would be established. Transparent policies on data usage, retention, access control, all designed to build trust and ensure compliance with global data privacy regulations like GDPR and others.
And there's even an innovative option mentioned for private organizational instances?
Yes, that's quite clever. An organization could potentially host a version internally that combines the global anonymized knowledge base with their own confidential internal data. This keeps their most sensitive information completely secure within their own walls, while still allowing them to leverage the collective global insights for internal analysis and problem solving.
That seems like a smart compromise.
It is. These safeguards are absolutely essential. They allow organizations to contribute and benefit from the collective knowledge while protecting their sensitive information. This is key to fostering wide adoption and ensuring trust in the system's integrity from day one.
So who exactly would drive this massive undertaking? A grand vision like this needs a clear structure to actually bring it to life and manage it effectively. The proposal details a pretty robust organizational structure for the task force. Mm. At the very top, it suggests an executive board. This would likely comprise esteemed industry leaders, key representatives from regulatory bodies, and leading academic experts in quality and AI. They'd provide the overall strategic direction and oversight.
Makes sense. High-level guidance.
Below them, technical working groups. These would be specialized teams focused on the nuts and bolts everything from establishing those crucial data standards and driving the cutting-edge AI development to optimizing the user experience and rigorously validating the knowledge entries that go into the database.
The operational engine room, essentially.
Exactly. Then there would be industry sector committees, sector-specific groups ensuring relevance and applicability across different manufacturing contexts, automotive, pharma, food, electronics, etc. making sure the universal principles are tailored effectively to specific industry needs and challenges.
Right. Context matters.
And underpinning it all, the real lifeblood of the initiative would be the contributor community. That vast network of quality professionals worldwide who will actively contribute data, help validate entries, and crucially, actually use the knowledge base in their daily work, providing that essential feedback loop.
Mm-hmm.
This multi-level structure seems designed to balance the need for strategic guidance with broad grassroots participation, ensuring the initiative remains relevant to practitioners on the ground while maintaining scientific rigor and strategic focus.
Sounds well thought out.
And of course, a grand vision needs a solid financial backbone to become reality and stay operational. The proposal outlines a pragmatic funding model and sustainability plan. Initial startup costs, which would be significant,
no doubt,
would likely be covered through a thoughtful combination of sources. Contributions from an industry consortium where leading companies commit seed funding or resources. Significant government grants, potentially focused on manufacturing innovation, public safety, or economic competitiveness. And maybe even philanthropic funding from foundations or organizations committed to consumer safety and improving product quality globally.
So, a multi-pronged approach to get it off the ground. Mm. What about ongoing costs?
For long-term sustainability, the operational model would likely rely on a mixed funding approach. This could include ongoing support from a dedicated foundation, potentially tiered organizational memberships for companies that want access to more advanced, tailored features or analytics.
Like a freemium model.
Sort of, yes.
Yeah.
And maybe optional premium services like specialized consulting or training. But critically, the proposal stresses maintaining free access to the core knowledge resources for everyone. That democratization aspect is key. And the value creation argument is strong. The initiative could generate substantial economic value through defect prevention, dramatically reduced recalls, and significant efficiency improvements in troubleshooting and R&D. Even a modest reduction in those massive quality-related losses across industries, remember that $1.2 trillion figure, could justify the investment many times over, making it a potentially very attractive proposition for both public and private investment.
The ROI could be huge.
Exactly. Furthermore, strategic partnerships with leading technology providers could provide crucial infrastructure support, cloud computing, AI platforms, and advanced AI capabilities, potentially reducing direct costs while accelerating platform development.
Leveraging existing tech expertise. Makes sense.
Now, let's try to visualize the potential impact on product safety. Our sources provide a compelling projection, essentially a graph, that really drives home both the urgency and the potential of this idea. Without this kind of intervention, due to increasing product complexity and global production volumes, product safety incidents are projected to continue increasing gradually over time, creating a growing public health burden.
A worrying trend line.
But with the Global Quality Task Force and its proactive AI-driven approach, the projected graph shows that significant reductions in safety incidents could potentially be achieved almost immediately, or very quickly, as those early detection and prevention mechanisms start to take effect across participating industries. It's not just leveling off the curve, it's a powerful visual of bending the curve sharply downwards, a dramatically safer future for consumers around the world. It's a vision for actively reducing preventable harm.
That's a powerful image.
And beyond saving lives and preventing injuries, which is paramount, this initiative promises massive economic benefits of improved quality. We mentioned that staggering figure earlier. The estimated annual global cost of poor quality across manufacturing industries, including everything from recalls and warranties to litigation, wasted materials, lost productivity, and irreparable brand damage, stands at roughly $1.2 trillion.
It's an almost unbelievable number, but studies support it.
The proposal conservatively estimates that maybe a 15% reduction in these quality costs is achievable through the implementation of AI-driven early detection, better root cause analysis, and widespread knowledge sharing. This isn't just a hopeful guess. It's based on potential efficiencies seen in early pilots and similar quality improvement initiatives in specific sectors.
So 15% of $1.2 trillion.
That translates to a potential $180 billion in annual global economic benefit.
Wow.
That's an enormous sum of resources that could be redirected to innovation, to research and development, to growth, to creating better jobs, to other productive endeavors, boosting global prosperity and competitiveness for participating industries and economies. The economic case is almost as compelling as the safety case.
It really is. It pays for itself many times over.
So how do we get there? A vision this grand needs a meticulous roadmap, not just wishful thinking. The implementation would likely follow a phased approach, broken down into manageable stages, ensuring steady progress and allowing for learning along the way. Phase one, foundation, maybe spanning the first 6 months or so, would involve establishing that core organizational structure we discussed, securing the crucial initial funding, developing the fundamental data standards that will allow cross-industry data sharing to actually work, and creating the robust governance framework. Laying the groundwork.
Building the chassis before you put the engine in.
Exactly. Then, maybe from month 7 to 18, comes phase two, data collection. This is where they would begin the massive task of aggregating quality data from founding members and those public sources, meticulously implementing the anonymization protocols, and creating the initial knowledge structures within the database, starting to populate it.
Oh, getting the fuel.
Following that, phase three. Model development, perhaps from month 13 to 24, would focus on developing and training those initial AI models, building the intuitive user interface for quality professionals, and commencing limited pilot testing with selected organizations to refine the system in real-world scenarios and get early feedback.
Kicking the tires.
Right. And finally, phase four. Launch and expansion, maybe from months 25 to 36, would see the public launch of the full platform. Hopefully, a rapid expansion of the contributor base as more companies recognize its value and join in. Continuous refinement of the AI models based on more data and usage. And potentially, the development of industry-specific modules to cater to unique sectoral needs. It's presented as a well-thought-out, incremental deployment designed for learning and long-term success.
A marathon, not a sprint.
Precisely. Now, to support this massive undertaking, the technical infrastructure requirements are obviously substantial. This forms the digital backbone of the entire initiative. We're talking about secure, highly scalable cloud infrastructure capable of handling petabytes. That's thousands of terabytes of both structured and unstructured quality data.
Huge amounts of data.
Everything from precise measurements and test results to text reports from engineers, customer complaint emails, images, even videos of defects or manufacturing processes. This infrastructure needs robust redundancy and disaster recovery capabilities, naturally, given the critical nature of the data it holds.
Absolutely essential. And the initiative will also require significant AI computing resources. This means high-performance computing capacity, possibly specialized hardware like GPUs or TPUs for training and running those complex machine learning models, especially for intensive computer vision applications that demand massive parallel processing power.
Right, needs serious horsepower.
Then the knowledge management system itself will need a sophisticated database architecture, likely involving advanced graph database components, optimized for storing and efficiently retrieving those complex relationships between defects, causes, materials, processes, and solutions across vast and diverse data sets. It needs to handle connections, not just rows and columns.
Making those links visible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And crucially, the user interface must be intuitive, responsive, and accessible across various devices. It needs to work just as well for a factory floor engineer using a tablet as it does for a headquarters analyst using a powerful desktop workstation. It should ideally support natural language queries, letting users ask questions in plain English, and provide interactive visualizations to make complex data easy to understand and act upon quickly. Usability is key for adoption.
So how will they know if it's actually working, if it's delivering on this incredible promise? The proposal lays out some clear key performance indicators, or KPIs, for measuring success and ensuring accountability. They're aiming for an ambitious 90% query response rate, meaning 90% of user queries receive relevant, genuinely actionable responses from the AI system, not just noise.
That's a high bar, but important.
They also target an 80% early detection rate, indicating the percentage of quality issues identified by the system before traditional methods would likely have caught them, really showing that preventative power in action.
That's a direct measure of its core value proposition.
And beyond just detection, they aim for a significant 65% average resolution time reduction when quality professionals use the platform compared to traditional isolated troubleshooting methods, saving time and money.
A huge efficiency gain.
And critically, for product safety, they target a 25% recall reduction among participating organizations. That would be a huge tangible indicator of improved prevention of serious quality issues reaching the market and ultimately creating a safer marketplace for consumers.
These KPIs are clear, they're measurable, and they're directly tied to the initiative's core mission. It shows a commitment to tangible results that truly transform quality management and demonstrate accountability for the initiative's profound impact. It's not just about building cool tech, it's about results.
The task force also sees significant regulatory collaboration opportunities. While needing to operate independently to maintain neutrality and trust, it would actively seek strategic partnerships with regulatory bodies worldwide, like the FDA, EMA, CPSC, NHTSA, and their counterparts globally. This could create a real win-win scenario, a synergistic relationship.
How would that work?
Well, for regulators, collaborating could mean unprecedented early visibility into emerging quality issues across industries, not just reacting to incidents company by company. It could provide data-driven insights to help them prioritize inspections or investigations, and potentially access to AI tools developed by the task force that could dramatically enhance their own monitoring capabilities. Ultimately, it could lead to improved industry compliance through more preventive measures rather than just reactive enforcement after harm has occurred.
So regulators get a heads up and better tools. What's in it for the task force?
Conversely, the task force itself would benefit immensely. Access to anonymized regulatory data on recalls and reported incidents would give it an even broader understanding of real-world failures. They would also receive valuable input on regulatory interpretations and evolving requirements, ensuring the system remains aligned with legal and safety standards globally. And, let's be honest, potential endorsement from these respected bodies would significantly increase the task force's credibility and likely accelerate adoption across industries, creating this mutually reinforcing ecosystem for safety that benefits everyone, regulators, industry, and the public.
A virtuous cycle, hopefully.
And the sources provide some compelling case studies that really illustrate the real-world impact this kind of collective, AI-powered quality intelligence could have. In one striking example, a major automotive manufacturer implemented an early prototype version of this kind of AI system. It managed to identify incredibly subtle correlations between specific batches of material from one supplier, the ambient humidity during a particular production step, and a subsequent spike in warranty claims for transmission failures months later.
Wow. Connecting dots that would be almost impossible for a human to spot manually?
Exactly. These were patterns that no human analyst or even their traditional statistical process control methods had managed to catch. By flagging these high-risk combinations before potentially faulty parts left the factory, the manufacturer was able to implement targeted additional testing and inspections specifically on those potentially problematic batches.
Proactive intervention.
Right. This intervention prevented an estimated 12,000 potential field failures, avoiding a massive recall that would have cost them approximately $38 million, and most importantly, potentially preventing numerous accidents and injuries related to transmission failure. And the knowledge gained from this specific case, the interplay of supplier variance and environmental factors once anonymized and generalized, was then shared and reportedly applied by manufacturers in adjacent industries producing other types of precision mechanical components, showing that cross-pollination in action.
That's a powerful example of both prevention and knowledge sharing.
Another fascinating example comes from cross-industry knowledge transfer. This involved a mid-sized food processor experiencing persistent, intermittent contamination issues in a new high-speed packaging line. Traditional quality control methods had failed to solve it despite months of effort and significant financial losses from product holds and testing. They were tearing their hair out.
A frustrating situation.
Using a prototype version of the global quality database, the company discovered that semiconductor manufacturers, a seemingly entirely unrelated industry, right, had faced remarkably similar contamination issues in their ultra-clean rooms related to airflow dynamics.
Who would have thought to look there?
Exactly. By adapting advanced airflow monitoring techniques and statistical pattern analysis methods used for tracking microscopic particulates in semiconductor manufacturing, the food processor identified a very specific combination of environmental events, like doors opening and closing in a certain sequence elsewhere in the plant, that created momentary negative pressure, subtly drawing airborne contaminants into the supposedly clean packaging area.
Really non-obvious root cause.
Totally non-obvious. This insight, gleaned from a completely different sector thanks to the shared knowledge base, led them to modify their HVAC system and operational procedures. The result? A dramatic 97% reduction in contamination events, saving an estimated $2.4 million annually in testing, product holds, and potential recall costs. These examples aren't just theoretical possibilities. They show the direct, measurable impact this kind of initiative can have on both safety and the bottom line. It's a powerful testament to the tangible potential here.
It really brings it to life.
The initiative would also, the proposal suggests, seamlessly integrate with existing risk management frameworks within organizations, like ISO 31000, profoundly enhancing their ability to identify, assess, prioritize, and address quality-related risks much more effectively. The AI would constantly analyze global quality data for risk identification, potentially spotting emerging issues or vulnerabilities that wouldn't even be apparent from looking only at an organization's own internal data, providing a much wider, more proactive lens.
So it broadens the scope of risk identification.
Yes. It would use advanced analytics for risk assessment, helping quantify the likelihood and potential impact of identified risks based on a vast trove of historical outcomes from similar situations worldwide. Moving beyond qualitative guesswork or relying solely on limited internal experience.
More data-driven assessment.
Machine learning models could then aid risk prioritization, helping organizations focus their limited resources, time, money, people on the most critical quality risks first, ensuring maximum impact and safety benefit. The knowledge base would provide proving strategies and best practices for risk mitigation, drawing from successful cases globally, suggesting what has actually worked elsewhere. And continuous analysis of process data and external signals would enable constant risk monitoring, providing real-time alerts to deviations or trends that could indicate escalating risk. This comprehensive, data-driven approach could bring a whole new level of sophistication and proactivity to quality risk management, fundamentally strengthening an organization's resilience against failures.
Integrating quality intelligence directly into the risk management cycle.
Yeah.
Very smart.
Furthermore, the Global Task Force Initiative is envisioned to revolutionize supplier quality management, providing unprecedented visibility and predictive insight into potential quality risks originating throughout the complex global supply chain, which, as we discussed right at the start, is a major source of problems and a huge pain point for many companies.
Definitely a critical area.
It would act as an early warning system, identifying emerging supplier quality issues, perhaps based on patterns observed across multiple customers contributing data about that same supplier to the database, before those issues significantly affect downstream production. It could also enable much more contextual assessment of suppliers, providing a far more accurate evaluation of their true quality capabilities based on comprehensive performance data from multiple sources, rather than just relying on limited direct experience or superficial audits, allowing for more informed sourcing decisions.
Better supplier selection and monitoring.
This would also foster collaborative improvement by providing shared knowledge anonymized, of course, of effective supplier development techniques and specific interventions that have proven successful in improving quality in similar supplier situations across different industries. It could also facilitate more sophisticated risk stratification, allowing for smarter models for categorizing suppliers based on complex quality risk factors identified across industries, leading to more tailored oversight, focusing more attention on higher risk suppliers. And finally, it could lead to verification optimization, enabling smarter allocation of precious supplier verification resources, like audits and inspections, based on data-driven risk assessments, ensuring those efforts are targeted where they're most needed and most likely to be effective. These capabilities would be particularly valuable for organizations navigating those really complex, multi-tier global supply chains where traditional oversight methods are increasingly challenging and often just plain ineffective, giving companies much better tools to manage that upstream risk. And like any truly effective system, especially one dealing with constantly evolving technology and risks, it needs to constantly learn and improve itself. The Global Quality Initiative would incorporate a systematic, continuous improvement methodology for both its AI models and its knowledge base, ensuring it remains cutting edge, relevant, and effective over the long term.
It can't be static.
No. This cycle would likely begin with rigorous performance monitoring, constantly tracking those key metrics we discussed: prediction accuracy, resolution time reduction, early detection rates, and crucially, user satisfaction with the insights provided. Then, systematic feedback collection would gather structured input from users globally on the relevance, usability, and effectiveness of the system's recommendations, identifying specific areas for growth or improvement.
Learning from the users.
This leads to rigorous gap analysis, identifying areas where the system might be underperforming, where knowledge is lacking in the database, or where new types of risks are emerging that the system isn't yet equipped to handle. These identified gaps then drive targeted enhancement, developing specific improvements to address them, which could include refining existing AI models, developing entirely new ones, actively acquiring new knowledge sources to fill gaps in the database, or improving the user interface.
Constant refinement.
All proposed enhancements would then undergo rigorous validation against historical cases and potentially real-world pilot tests before being rolled out widely to ensure they actually improve things and don't introduce new problems. And finally, deployment involves rolling out these improvements in a controlled manner, with continuous monitoring restarting the cycle, ensuring the system becomes increasingly valuable and accurate over time, adapting constantly to new challenges, new product types, new manufacturing techniques, and new global data streams. It's designed to be a perpetually learning system. Now, while the initial focus of this proposal is squarely on manufacturing cars, electronics, pharma, food, etc., the underlying principles behind the Global Quality Task Force seem so powerful and potentially universally applicable, it's not hard to imagine this model expanding far beyond its initial scope eventually.
Oh, absolutely. The core idea, collective intelligence, AI-driven prediction, cross-boundary learning for preventing failures, is incredibly versatile.
Think about it. Where else could this type of predictive, collaborative quality control make a huge difference?
Well, consider construction and infrastructure. It could potentially be applied to building materials testing, analyzing structural component data, monitoring complex construction processes, aiming to improve structural safety, longevity, and durability, potentially preventing catastrophic failures in things like bridges, tunnels, or large buildings.
Huge safety implications there.
Immense. Or think about software development.
Mm.
The principles could be adapted to focus on predicting and preventing security vulnerabilities, software reliability issues, performance defects. These are essentially quality problems in a digital realm, but they have very real-world consequences for our privacy, our finances, and the functionality of critical systems we rely on every day.
Finding bugs before they get exploited or crash systems.
Exactly. And perhaps most critically, consider healthcare services. This framework could potentially be adapted to improve patient safety by analyzing incident reports across hospitals, enhancing diagnostic accuracy by comparing imaging data or test results against vast data sets, or even optimizing treatment effectiveness based on real-world outcomes data. Directly impacting human lives on a vast scale, just in a different context than manufacturing.
Wow.
This really highlights the potential universality of quality challenges and how a data-driven, collaborative approach, significantly enhanced by AI, could transcend traditional industry or service boundaries and create immense value wherever quality, safety, and reliability are paramount, across almost any complex sector you can imagine.
This profound shift, whether just in manufacturing or expanding beyond, will naturally have significant workforce implications and skills development needs. It's not just about the tech, it's about the people using it.
Absolutely critical. As these AI systems potentially take on more of the routine, repetitive quality analysis tasks, checking standard parameters, flagging known deviations, the role of the human quality professional will fundamentally evolve. And again, the emphasis is on evolution, not elimination.
Right. Augmentation, not replacement.
It won't be about replacement, but about elevation. Moving professionals toward higher value activities that require uniquely human skills. Judgment, creativity, ethical reasoning, nuanced interpersonal skills, things like interpreting complex AI insights within a broader business context, designing sophisticated preventive strategies that go beyond what the AI suggests, managing complex exceptions, and facilitating that crucial cross-functional and even cross-organizational collaboration needed to implement systemic changes.
So the human element becomes arguably even more critical, just focused on different, perhaps more strategic areas.
Exactly. Quality professionals will need to develop new capabilities or enhance existing ones. Strong data literacy, understanding how to interpret data and AI outputs critically. A foundational understanding of AI principles, not needing to be coders, but understanding how these systems work, their strengths, and their limitations. Sophisticated systems thinking, seeing the bigger picture across organizational boundaries and complex processes. And excellent collaborative problem-solving skills to work effectively within diverse teams that will increasingly include AI specialists and data scientists.
So upskilling is key.
Huge. And the task force itself, as envisioned in the proposal, would play a key role here by actively developing educational initiatives. This could include accessible online courses, recognized certification programs focused on AI-enhanced quality management, practical training materials, workshops, and special attention would also need to be given to knowledge transfer. actively capturing the tacit knowledge, the decades of experience of senior, perhaps retiring, quality professionals, and finding ways to integrate that wisdom into the platform or training programs, ensuring invaluable expertise isn't lost as workforce demographics shift.
Preserving that human experience alongside the AI.
Precisely. Now, as with any powerful technology, especially AI operating at this scale and dealing with sensitive information, there are critical ethical considerations that must be addressed proactively right from the outset to ensure responsible deployment and maintain public trust. The proposal highlights several key areas. First, transparency.
The black box problem.
Exactly. The AI systems must, as much as possible, provide clear explanations for their recommendations, allowing users to understand the basis for predictions and suggested actions. This explainability is absolutely essential for appropriate reliance on the system's outputs, ensuring that the AI is viewed as a trusted assistant, not an opaque oracle demanding blind faith.
Makes sense. What else?
Second, accountability. Clear frameworks must be established to define who bears responsibility for decisions made based on AI recommendations. The system should be designed to support human decision-making, providing data and insights, while preserving appropriate accountability structures where humans remain ultimately responsible for the final calls, especially in safety-critical situations.
So the human is still in the loop and responsible?
Ideally, yes. Third, bias prevention. Rigorous processes must be implemented during data collection, model development, and ongoing monitoring to identify and mitigate potential biases in the underlying data or the algorithms themselves. Biases that could lead to unfair or inaccurate quality assessments across different product lines, different demographic user groups, or different manufacturing contexts or regions. Fairness is critical.
Preventing the AI from inheriting our own biases.
A major challenge, but essential to address. And finally, global equity. The initiative should be designed consciously to benefit organizations of all sizes and in all regions, not just large corporations in wealthy countries. This means considering things like multilingual support, accessibility for organizations with limited technical resources, and ensuring the models account for diverse manufacturing contexts and regulatory environments around the world.
It needs to genuinely serve the global community it aims to protect.
These are huge considerations. They are. And they raise that important question. How do we ensure this incredibly powerful tool is used responsibly, ethically, and equitably for global benefit, rather than inadvertently exacerbating existing inequalities or creating new risks? It requires constant vigilance.
And to ensure the integrity, sustainability, and ethical operation of this ambitious initiative over the long haul, a robust governance framework would be absolutely essential. It can't just be run informally. The proposal suggests several components. An independent oversight board with diverse representatives, industry, academia, regulators, maybe even consumer advocacy groups, providing strategic guidance and ensuring accountability to the public interest mission.
Checks and balances.
A technical standards committee comprised of leading technical experts responsible for establishing and maintaining the data standards, the validation protocols for AI models, and performance metrics for the platform, ensuring technical rigor.
The guardians of quality for the quality system.
You could say that. An ethics review panel, a dedicated group, possibly including ethicists and social scientists, alongside technical experts, specifically tasked with addressing privacy concerns, fairness issues, transparency challenges, and other ethical dimensions of the AI's deployment on an ongoing basis.
Proactive ethical oversight.
A financial sustainability committee to oversee the funding mechanisms, budget allocation, and long-term economic viability, ensuring the initiative remains well-resourced and independent. And finally, rigorous performance measurement and reporting, involving regular evaluation and public reporting on the initiative's actual impact on quality outcomes, safety statistics, and economic benefits, demonstrating its value in fostering continued trust and participation. This kind of multifaceted structure would be crucial to ensure the initiative maintains its focus on its public benefit mission while adapting effectively to evolving needs, technologies, and ethical challenges over time.
A comprehensive governance model is definitely needed for something this big.
And this all ties into a broader concept that our sources refer to quite compellingly as the vision. Quality 4.0. It really represents a fundamental paradigm shift in how we approach product quality and safety, truly leveraging the advancements of the digital age, much like Industry 4.0 is doing for manufacturing itself.
It's the next evolution.
First, it's a profound move from reactive to predictive. Traditional quality management, as we've said, has focused primarily on detection and correction of defects after they've already occurred. This initiative, Quality 4.0, shifts the focus decisively toward prediction and prevention stopping problems before they even start.
Second, it moves us from isolated to connected. Quality knowledge historically has remained trapped in silos within individual organizations, departments, or industries, preventing broader learning and improvement. But this new approach creates a connected ecosystem where insights flow freely, crossing traditional boundaries, dramatically accelerating learning and improvement for everyone involved.
Breaking down the walls.
Third, it marks a fundamental shift from experiential to data-driven. While individual experience and intuition are incredibly valuable and will always be needed, quality decisions have often relied heavily on them, which can be limited or biased. This initiative augments that invaluable human expertise with comprehensive data analysis and sophisticated pattern recognition at scales impossible for individuals to process alone, combining the best of human and machine intelligence.
Leveraging data effectively.
And finally, and perhaps most profoundly in terms of mindset, it's a move from competitive to collaborative, at least in this specific domain. While maintaining appropriate competitive boundaries in business strategy and product development is normal, the initiative recognizes that basic product quality and safety represent pre-competitive areas. Areas where collaborative approaches, sharing anonymized data and insights on common failure modes and solutions, actually benefit all stakeholders, including consumers, manufacturers, and regulators, ultimately creating a safer, more reliable, and more prosperous global economy for everyone. It's a recognition that a rising tide of quality lifts all boats. Hashtag hack how true it.
So, after all that, what does this all mean for you, the person listening right now? What's the takeaway? Well, it means a potential future where the products you use every single day, from your car that gets you to work, to your phone connecting you to the world, to the food on your plate, nourishing your family, could be dramatically safer, significantly more reliable, and ultimately contribute to a healthier planet through less waste and fewer hazardous materials. It's about imagining a world where product recall becomes a much rarer headline, maybe even a relic of a less connected, less intelligent past.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this initiative, this vision, is really a powerful example of collective intelligence in action. It demonstrates how truly global collaboration, significantly enhanced and enabled by the analytical power of AI, can potentially tackle incredibly complex, interconnected challenges that go far beyond what any single entity, no matter how large or resourceful, could ever hope to achieve alone. It's not just a potential blueprint for product quality. It's a potential blueprint for solving many of the world's other big, thorny, interconnected problems through shared knowledge and AI.
This deep dive has certainly shown us the immense challenges we currently face in product quality and safety across so many industries. But, much more hopefully, it's also revealed the groundbreaking solution proposed by this global quality task force concept powered by AI and collaboration. It's a truly bold vision for preventing potentially millions of injuries and saving tens of thousands of lives each year, while simultaneously unlocking immense economic value for industries worldwide.
And the journey towards Quality 4.0, this envisioned predictive, connected, data-driven, and truly collaborative future for product safety and reliability, is really just beginning. The proposal lays out a path, but making it reality will require immense effort and buy-in. So maybe a final thought to leave you with. What opportunities do you see for this kind of cross-industry AI-powered knowledge sharing in other complex global challenges that impact our world? Think about climate change, pandemic preparedness, resource management. Where else could collective intelligence, amplified by AI, make a real difference? We invite you to consider how you might benefit from or even potentially contribute to such initiatives in your own fields or areas of concern. The possibilities, once we truly embrace this level of collective intelligence and collaboration, are genuinely exciting to contemplate.